And we're live.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Beyond Retro podcast. I'm lost as what episode it is, but it's new. That's all I can tell you right now. So I don't know if it's
nine.
Okay. We are episode 9 here. Feels like we've done more, but
it does seem like it.
But I'm Tyler Baker, and Joe Amato's joined us. Nathan Kennedy is pulled a Chuck Norris and is missing in action again this week due to the holiday season. Nathan is tucked away in the bowels of a shipping warehouse, kind of much like a prisoner of Vietnam, like Chuck Norris in Missing in Action Part 2 at the beginning. That's kind of what I'm envisioning. His hair is getting excessively longer. You know, he's got a sweaty bandana on. He's got the beard. He's trying to keep all of his friends, you know. We're going to get out of here, you know. We don't know if, you know, Christmas holiday's still going on out there, you know. If you see Missy in Action 2, you should kind of know what I'm referencing there.
Yeah. Well, he'll be back. He'll be back.
He'll be back soon enough. So he's eager to get back. We'll give him a shout-out. And if we could give him a big hug and, you know, a pat on the head, we would right now. But he's sweating away right now again.
He'll be back. And, well, before we get started to talk about our topics, just want to say hello to our Motu Man Cave Dweller, JSP, and Daniel Maynard. They're all in the chat room, and thank you for joining us. And after you hear some of the stuff we start talking about, I hope you guys want to mention some of the things you remember, because we'll be hitting a lot of different things, you know. Well, of course, you know, yesterday was Thanksgiving, so, you know, happy late Thanksgiving for everybody. I'm sure you guys hopefully have, you know, burned off all the food that you ate if you went out doing Black Friday shopping today. I didn't do any of that stuff, but I'm sure quite a few people probably did.
I did a little bit of it this afternoon. I went out because that it was the best thing to do. You go out in the afternoon, there's still tons of scraps of stuff, and most of the stuff my family's interested in, I have to order online anyway, but there's a few things I could have gotten in the store. A couple of cheap movies and things, and I decided to check out Walmart.com just to see if they had anything interesting. They had hover robots from the He-Man Classics for $19, free shipping.
Oh, they still. Oh, and do they still have them up? Because they were having a lot of deals. They had a lot of good deals up there.
Yeah, I was surprised because I checked Mattel and they had their stuff, but it was, you know, still you get free shipping, but still have to pay $27, $35, whatever. And I just checked Walmart and they had Hover robots for $18.99 with free shipping. So, like, holy hell, man! I'm not gonna do much for myself, but I gotta do that. So
that's a hell of a deal, and yeah, you could do some good army building on that, definitely. Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't do anything. My sister went out, and she went to Target, and they had a special Blu-ray version, collector's edition of Stranger Things. That's cool. I love this stuff, because they try to make it look like an old VHS kind of, like, case. Of course, you see in the shiny reflect, I didn't open it, but they even put, like, a little sticker here. Like, when you remember the VHS, they'd have that, like, you know, little writing, a cheap thing. But, yeah, this was
still at Target today for all $10 down from $25.
Exactly, $10, you can't beat that, and this is a Target exclusive, so that was pretty cool. But yeah, because, man, watching Stranger Things, it's like all these things started popping in my head and your head. I mean, we do this podcast where we talk about a lot of things we remember growing up in the 80s, 90s. I was figuring, man, we could talk about all the stuff we could remember as much as possible, whether they're fads, gimmicks, or stuff that just have always kind of been around in, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s up until now, but just things that were cool. And one thing I wanted to start off with at least mentioning was, I don't know if you ever had a big wheel. I'm sure a lot of kids remember at least having the big wheel, you know, the plastic thing you rode. It had a big front wheel and two, you know, big back wheels. And that was, oh, wait, one quick thing. JSP, no special features for this Stranger Things, but it does come with a special collectible poster in it. And it's a 4-disc Blu-ray and DVD set, but hell, for $10, you can't beat that. And it does have a collectible poster, so that's that.
Yeah, well, it just looks, it's a cool display piece.
Oh, hell yeah.
What you're getting it for is to just display.
Yeah, it even says, like, VHS right there.
I'm hoping they'll do that with the remainder, because I need to get me a copy, too. But I hope they do that with Season 2 and the inevitable Season 3 as well, where it's just this VHS collection. You know, I like that. I wish they would do more Blu-ray releases for stuff like that. You know, I would be more apt to double dip on certain movies that I've got 3 and 4 copies of already if they would release it in a VHS box like Predator and Ghostbusters and Jaws.
Yeah.
You know, I would go back. I've already got multiple versions. If they do more something like that, a VHS throwback.
It just looks cool. It's cool for display, and it looks so damn cool.
I'd do like a new cover or something like that. Nothing really making it worth your while to buy again in double dips, but
Yeah.
something like that's hard to ignore.
And I'm sure eventually, I'm sure eventually they'll probably have extra features in these things.
Yeah.
But, well, like I said, I remember the big wheels, and Daniel Maynor in the chat room, he said he had a big wheel. He said Knight Rider and Dukes of Hazzard big wheel. Now, that's awesome, Daniel, because here's my story that's coming up. I love the Dukes of Hazzard. I love just seeing, the General Lee jump in those big, gaps, and sometimes it'd go on two wheels. And I was obsessed on that. I was so obsessed that I know it sounds a little bizarre, but it's something that it's true. I would take my big wheel and I would cock it up on two wheels. So I was riding on my front big wheel and the back left wheel, and I could ride quick. And I would, for 2 years, 3 years, however long I had the big wheels, because I used to go up them like crazy. I was known for like the neighborhood, blocks wide, the
Are you
kid
still
that would
known throughout the neighborhood for your days of the legendary big wheeling?
what's
You know,
funny
do
is.
you walk down the street and the kids come up, are you him? Are
Are
you
you?
the, you know, what would be the evil Amato instead of evil Knievel, you know, evil
There you go.
Amato?
Well, there was. It was just what was cool is people were so known for seeing me do that that they always wanted to constantly. I would just ride my big wheel down the street, and there'd be people sitting on the porch. Hey, Joey, because then still a lot of people call me Joey. They're like, hey, Joey, hit two big or hit two wheels, and I'd pop it up and I'd start riding it, and they just were fascinated. They were, like I said, the parents were coming out watching this. Well, the inevitable
He's
day.
a hero. You're the hero of the neighborhood,
No, I'm
aren't
not
you?
kidding. Because it was bizarre to see. You don't see somebody ran on two wheels. So just people got a kick out of it. And there was the day I was on a playground of my local school, and I was on the big wheel, shirtless. And somebody's like, "Yo, Joey, hit two wheels." And I hit two wheels, and I was riding. And it was a paved, playground. It wasn't sand and dirt. It was paved, rock hard. And as I was riding, my back tire hit a rock. When it hit the rock, it flung me off the big wheel. I fell like kind of face first and chest first and slammed right into the concrete where there was this big sharp piece of rock sticking out. It ripped my chest open. Blood's pouring out. I'm freaking out going home. I'm skipping, like putting your foot on one part of the big wheel and just skipping off to the side, going, going, going. I finally got home. I took my big wheel up the steps of the porch, threw it in there covered in blood, and I'm holding my chest and covered it. As I open the door and I see my mom, and I said, "Ma, Ma," I was like, "Don't freak out, everything's okay." And I moved my hand, and she seen the blood just pouring out of my chest. She's screaming, going nuts, and I started crying. And the reason I wasn't crying was from pain, was the thought of going to the hospital. I hated the hospital. So I'm like, "Please," I was like, "Please, I won't go to the hospital. Please, I won't go to the hospital." And after my fit of crying for so long, she said, "Oh, geez, okay, Joey, come upstairs." Came upstairs and she washed, she cleaned me up. Of course, she's basically almost doing that as she's freaking out anyways. And then she put, I don't know if it was called methylate. It was like this black kind of gook that you put on wounds, and we used to dub it Grandpa's magic medicine. And she was like, "I'm gonna put Grandpa's magic medicine on you." And she put a patch on it, and after a couple of weeks, it healed up, and there's still a slight little scar. But that was the last time I rode the big wheel. Man, did I love them damn big wheels in the 80s. But after that incident and it being covered in blood, that was the last time I rode it. And I still got that little scar to match it. But yeah, those big wheels were a blast. I don't know if you had them, Tyler, but God, they were fun until it ripped you open.
No, I didn't have one.
Oh, okay. You really didn't?
No, I don't recall. I knew of them, but I only had a Power Wheel, and with the daycare center I was at, they had these little trikes that were decorated to look like mail trucks and school buses. That was about as close as I ever got to a big wheel. That nor because. What was so good about the time I was in daycare was there was a lot of hand-me-down stuff from the, you know, the remainder of the 80s. But that was one thing that was when I think big wheel, I'm also thinking of one of those little plastic devices that you could sit on and you would hold on to it and you would spin yourself around this little plastic device. I don't know what it was
Oh,
called.
the sit and spin? The sit and spins.
Sit
I'm getting
and spin. I
fucked.
would think the big wheel and the sit and spin kind of go hand in hand because not that they really don't. But there's just something that I kind of link both of those together, because that's about, probably it's not it's the, probably the biggest wheel I got to was the spin and sit.
Which is sitting, even like you said, they're not similar at all in aspects of what they do, but I can
Guess
understand.
you know maybe it was what I kind of, I mean, because I know that there were, I mean, there was a He-Man big wheel and a wide variety of other gimmicked big wheels. And I think those things had pretty much kind of cycled out, at least for the most part, because I did have a tricycle at the time. So I probably would have been able to use a big wheel had I been given one, but it just was not something that I saw in the store. Or none of my relatives or parents thought, hey, let's get Tyler a big wheel. So that,
You know,
not that I was denied it, because I really just, was not a demand.
it's just funny you bring up that sit and spin real quick. I wanted to say, Motu Cave Dweller, he wanted to thank you about the scoop on the hoverbots. He said he just snagged some,
Oh, cool.
so pretty cool. So there you go, you hook somebody up. Luis Coronado's here. How you doing? Daniel Maynard said that's what sparked his interest in cars was Dukes of Hazzard, and he turned a 1969 Dodge Charger into a General Lee. That's freaking awesome. So that is cool. But you know, it's weird you talk about that sit and spin. God, yeah, I remember just doing that. You'd sit, you'd grab that center part and go, go, and go. And half the time, you're always getting flung off and dizzy and sick. But that's weird. Until you said that, I completely forgot about those sit and spins. I remember those bouncy balls. Remember you sit on those one bouncy balls? They're real big and.
Was either I remember I didn't see those till I got a little bit older. What I was more familiar with was the pogo ball. I guess it's where you put your feet on that disc and you had a ball in the center of it and you would hold on to the ball with your feet and
Yeah.
it bounced. And I always thought they looked so cool, and I never saw anybody use them, but the commercials made it look just cool as hell.
And then you hate that. The thing that set me with a lot of the things I always remembered on the commercials, they made you think you were going to jump high as hell. You were just going to get way up in there. And I remember I tried, I was like, I'm not getting anywhere with this. Same thing with the jumpy ball, but the same thing with the pogo ball, which Christopher Glenn Dahlberg, he mentioned that just last week to me. He said in Canada, they had a lot of tournaments or some kind of competitions with those pogo balls. He said they were really, really hot in Canada, but I think I used that thing for maybe a week and I was done with it. I couldn't get anything out. I was like, this sucks. This ain't like the commercial.
You got to give your tip your hat to the commercials of the 80s, and maybe they're still as effective for kids today. But I mean, commercials for all that stuff, from something as simple as drinking milk was going to make you grow muscles and to get hot chicks, stuff like that, to the board games of something as epic as Mousetrap. The commercials make it look like there is not a single board game that's ever been made before or since that's as great as Mousetrap. When you finally get it, the trap doesn't work as well as the commercial. It's just not as exciting, because I'm like, I don't give a damn about the actual play in the game. I want to see the mousetrap function. And then stop here, stop here, stop there. Go a little bit more. Stop. It was the commercials that I wouldn't trade anything for them in the world, because they were fun commercials. Every board game, every action figure, every message, even things that were not meant for kids, I would see, like tools for in the lawn or things like that. I'm like, my babysitter needs that. My mom could use it. My dad could use that. I'm sitting there trying to be a consumer for my family and loved ones
At such a
and
young
friends.
age, yeah.
But commercials were misleading, but that's how they get you. So
Well, the Hungry Hungry
all
Hippos, at
the
least that.
commercials they did.
Yeah, Hungry Hungry Hippos at least worked like pretty much a commercial. That one did work, yeah.
That one was not misleading at all, and that was a blast. But it always got on everybody's nerves pretty quick because of how much noise it would make. So.
Yeah, because you're banging the living hell out of that thing. That's smack, 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 smack. But I liked it. Operation used to drive me nuts because I felt like I was always so shaky. I was sitting there trying to get that damn wishbone or one of the parts in particular. Maybe it was his heart. And it was, damned, I hate Operation. But those board games, like you said, and gimmicks of the 80s and into other years. And plus, I'm sure that some of them were before the 80s, but I'm just talking about when I was growing up with it. But yeah, I like that. I like Clue. Clue was a fun one to play. Monopoly was the absolute worst because while it was fun in some aspect, there was always an argument. I can't think of one time I played Monopoly with a friends or family that it didn't turn into some screaming argument and we just quit because it seemed like you could never end that game. You
Well,
know,
I
because
think that's why Junior Monopoly is so much better. To this day, I would prefer, and I've seen it still available. I need to purchase that for the family, because I'm not interested in playing regular Monopoly, even if it's, unless it was a super cool themed one, like a Ninja Turtles one or something like that. I'm like, I don't want to devote, 3, 4 hours of, like, because you do just give up after. Whereas Junior Monopoly, you're dealing with $1 to $5. You're dealing with small, simple stuff. It's not
I
meant to
never
go.
played it. I never seen Junior Monopoly ever. I never
Oh
seen
yeah,
that.
we got it as a kid. Instead of buying real estate, you're buying rides and booths and things at an amusement park. At least the one we had when I was a kid, which was all, I mean, because we always, me and my brother always went, I want dibs on the arcade. I want the arcade,
Really?
you
Was
know.
the board just as big as a regular Monopoly board too? I've never known this.
I guess to us it probably seemed that way. It wasn't a massive board by any means, but it was a pretty good. I think it just folded open into two halves. I think isn't the Monopoly one fold up into four pieces, or is it all
No, it should
one?
be just two. Yeah, it should be just.
The Junior Monopoly was just folded in half, and played. You had cards very similar to the actual Monopoly, but you didn't have little different pieces. You had little cars, different colored cars, and you would take your car and move it along the board and buy, you know, the roller coaster, buy the bumper cars, or buy the cotton candy booth and things like that. So we kept it pretty simple and not overly complicated, where me and my brother could play it frequently. But and we there, no fight ever broke out. It was more about just getting to the cooler things on the board before the, you know, my brother did.
I'll have to Google image search that because, like, I never knew that. I had no clue what the junior one was. I mean, maybe I seen it, but I had no desire to buy it. I didn't know. I had no clue that there'd be that much of a difference. But yeah, I'm experienced with the one that started riots, fights, and anything else you could think of
Yeah,
to
well,
define.
my whole family always, they say they enjoy it, but they'd also say it just takes too much time to play because it doesn't end immediately. It doesn't, it just,
And how many of you wanted to just give up, like, okay, here, you want to buy this off of me so you could just get out of the damn game and just say, okay, you won. You won. You had more money. Take
we would
this. Bye
start
bye.
cutting corners when we would play. We didn't play it as much as we would play other games just because everyone knew it took time, and it you either kind of, it's just you start letting the kids win a little bit more or something like that, because you know, but no, nothing hostile ever broke out when it came to board games that I can ever remember. I mean, from things like Dizzy Dinosaur, Candyland, which was my is still to this day my personal favorite board game, is Candyland. Sorry, all this class, Shark Attack,
Did you ever
you
get
know.
the Goonies board game? I had that. I loved the
Oh,
Goonies
see,
board.
and I realized that they had made board games for a lot of stuff that I was not even aware of as a kid. You know, that there's He-Man board games. There's, and I was aware of a G.I. Joe board game, but I didn't know there was two of them. And I really wanted to play that, and didn't know there would be all these board games based on movies and things like that. So, had I known about a lot of that stuff, you know, I would have been fascinated just to sit and watch and look at the pictures on the board and stuff as a kid, because board games that they. I'd seen when the Christmas catalog and or a random JCPenney catalog, and the board games just look cool and sounded cool, and then you see the commercials for all this stuff and they look epic as hell. And
Yeah, I wish I could find. I know I have it stored somewhere. See, when I'm talking about the Goonies game, I played that so much that we really did just eventually the board, the pieces, everything, the cards just got wrecked on it. But the only thing, the saving grace was that the box that it came in, I still have the box and it has this beautiful painted style art on the box of the Goonies. And that's where I used to store my Masters of the Universe comics. I put them in there, set them off to the side. That was my storage unit for my Masters comics, the DC, I'm sorry, the Marvel Star comics. The ones I, every time I went and got one at 7
of Star Marvel Comics there.
Yeah, I would sit there and I would get them over there at 7-Eleven, come back after I was done reading it. I stored it in my Goonies box. And hell, even Motu-K Dweller, he said they used to get into fights over Candyland at his house. And he said some of his favorites were Game of Life, Scotland
Yeah.
Yard. Now, I played Game of Life. I never played Scotland Yard. And he said Strat-O-Matic Baseball. I never played it. Did you? I don't remember what that was. Strat-O-Matic Baseball.
I wonder if that's similar to the magnetic football games.
I have that. You know, I still have that one. The one that, you know, before they, you know, the ones that would just vibrate, you
Which
know.
I had no idea that that's all those things that when I saw pictures of those, and I'm not a football fan by any means, but I thought as a kid it looks cool as hell to have your own. Like, how does it work? And then when I'd heard that no, they just kind of sit in place and vibrate. I'm like, well, how the hell do you win? And I it
And
was
what did
so.
they change? Remember, didn't they change them throughout the years to where you could move them a certain way or you had more control or?
I have no idea. All I knew was that it looked incredible to have your own live football game for your own personal pleasure. I don't know if you could pick whatever teams that you wanted to use. Maybe it was just the Redskins and the Cowboys. I was a Redskins fan as a kid. But it was fat, and then I hear about they did it with hockey, I think, as well.
Yeah, they do it a lot. And oh, and Cave Dweller just said that the Strat-O-Matic baseball, he said it was a card and dice baseball game. Now, again, I'm gonna have to Google that
Okay,
too. I just don't
perfect.
remember. Yeah, because I mean there were so many. I mean, from those board games to those cool Milton Bradley, I have a lot of them. I think I have almost all the ones they made. There were these puzzle games that were sets, and like one was let's say you seen it was called Eggzilla. And you had this dinosaur that you had a timer you put on, you put the dinosaur on. Right when you put the dinosaur on, a timer starts ticking on, and you have to put this eggshell around the dinosaur and put it on the top because it's like a puzzle piece before the
Okay.
timer. Yeah, because if you don't beat it, it explodes. And there was other ones where there was this knight
Like
of the round.
perfection. You got that is you described makes me think of the game Perfection, where it had the timer, you had to put all the pieces in
Or
before it
they.
erupts and all the pieces come flying out.
Yeah, so yeah, something like that. But these were cool. I guess I'm gonna bring them out one time and I'll just show a picture of them all. But there was another one that was like you're like a knight, like let's say Sir Arthur, and you had a your lance, and there was like this thing that was going around like this bat that had rings. I think that's the one with the bat, and you had to push the button to where he stabs up with his lance and tries to grab that ring perfectly. And all these rings, you have a timer to do. Man, there was just so many of those damn games. I love every, like I said, every single one of them because they're, sculpted like environments, but they're games themselves. And hell, you can find them on eBay, I think, maybe for, I don't know, $10 a piece. But they're Milton Bradley things. I think it was Milton Bradley, these crazy little puzzle games.
Makes me think of other kind of oddball ones. Well, I mean, not an oddball one, but this was a staple, and I still think it's one of the best games was Connect Four.
Oh yes, I love it.
That was a lot of, I didn't get to play that, but the first time, I think, till fifth grade, because that in elementary school, even then, in the early 90s, you still had a lot of they had the old Wheel of Fortune game from the 80s, which I thought was gonna be cool. It's so cool as hell to play Wheel of Fortune, the board game, and no, when none of those board games can live up to your expectation of something as plain. I'm thinking it's going to be almost like playing the real Wheel of Fortune, where you're going to, the squares will flip over and everything, and it's nowhere near as cool as you think. But Connect Four, Thin Ice, where I guess, do you remember Thin Ice?
No, this one's stumping me. No.
Oh, no. Well, it's this pedestal, and you lay down tissue paper. And you have this trough of wet marbles, and you take turns taking a wet marble, and each person puts it on the tissue, and the tissue represents the ice. You put too many wet marbles on it, at some point it's going to break. So whoever breaks the ice is the loser of it.
Oh,
It
that
was
sounds.
a fun little simple game, like Sunk or Plunk, which was kind of similar to that.
Hey, wasn't there? Oh, man. It's weird. You're making my head think. Well, there was this game. I thought it was like a pharaoh or a mummy's tomb, and you had to watch out for something to pop out of a crypt. Or, oh, damn. It's weird. I have no clue what the name of it was, but I thought I remember playing with some kind of sarcophagus game and
They're
keys.
probably it's hard to say there probably was. I mean, God, they had games for everything you can imagine, all kinds of gimmicks and stuff like that. So I wouldn't be surprised. I'm sure that there was. I couldn't tell you right off the top of my head.
I couldn't. I mean, Cave Dweller in the chat room mentioned WWF Wrestling Challenge. Was that a board game too?
There was a board game for that. Of course, I unfortunately did not get a chance to play that, but yeah, there was a
Damn.
board game of that, yeah.
I see. That's one I never played. Oh, that's another cool one. Yeah, there's just like you said, so many gimmicks. Like other things is, I mean, I was obsessed on all the types of different trading cards. I mean,
Oh
there was
my God.
just.
Listeners better sit down for a bit because I'm ready to just crack my brain open right here and just dump all this conversation about trading cards, man.
You're gonna have a lot more to say than me. Like, of course, I remember getting Masters of the Universe, some Star Wars ones, E.T., the A Team, those weird ball cards. I mean, and of course, you always get gum with each of these packs, but
Yeah.
it was so damn addicting. You go to the store and you get one pack, you open up, you get your cards, you're like, okay, get another one. And then you keep praying, please let there be a new card. Don't be a double. Don't be a double. And then when you got the sticker felt like the biggest bonus in the world. When you'd see that sticker, like, oh, look at that cool sticker. And you were obsessed on getting all of them, but damn, were trading cards so freaking addicted. But I know you got to experience them into a longer phase than I did, because I think when I stopped, You were hitting some of the hot stuff, like the Batman trading cards and a lot of other ones, right?
Yeah, the Batman trading cards, I think that along with, and I think I probably got these maybe right before, were the He-Man trading cards. And they came in this multi-pack set, I think, where it was like a, it was kind of like a vertical
I
a
know what you're talking
pack.
about.
Yeah, I think I got one of them at a local convenience store up from my pawpaw's house. And my aunt took me there to get me some candy, and she bought me a set of those. But the Batman trading cards, that was my first, I think, introduction to the movie was even coming out, because I think I was in daycare and I had one of my buddies. He came over to me and showed me his Batman trading cards, and that was the first time I saw the Joker and other images. I'm like, oh my God, there's a Batman movie coming out. And from there, it was, I mean, and you go back and dig back even further into the 80s, hell, even in the 70s, not just from Star Wars, but you've got trading cards for Jaws 2, Jaws 3, Gremlins. You've got it for the Good. You've got it for Alf. You've got it for a wide variety of just sitcoms, let alone, you know, when RoboCop 2 comes out, they're selling cards that have images from RoboCop 1 and 2 in those cards.
Oh, did they? I never seen those. Never seen them.
Yeah, because when I bought RoboCop 2 trading cards, it shows Murphy's arm being blown off, so you see this bloody stump of
Really?
Murphy. And I hadn't seen all of RoboCop as a kid. I'd
On a
only seen,
trading card? On the trading card?
I swear to God, because I got this at Myrtle Beach. Because Myrtle Beach, there was a convenience store across the street from where we stayed for many years, and they always sold trading cards, and they always had movie cards there each summer, especially for whatever movies were coming out that summer. And I bought me some RoboCop trading cards, and there's a shot of Peter Weller laying on the ground making this, you know, painful face with this bloody stump, you know, and the caption says Murphy's blown away, and I'm like, you know, it's like that must be in the first. I was like, is that, you know, I didn't quite grasp it, you know, because I'd see
Wow.
RoboCop 2 before the first one, because my parents were completely against me seeing it. Oddly enough, I would see RoboCop 2, but it would be on TV. But anyway, I mean, there was trading cards for that. When Dick Tracy came out, I was buying Dick Tracy cards religiously, trying to get the wanted stickers because they were wanted posters with each gangster on them. The
Okay.
Ninja Turtle trading cards, dear God, I mean, the movie cards alone were such a drug, from wanting to get the character cards to a cool sticker to cool action moments from the movie, the cartoon trading cards, and Gremlins 2, the new batch. I was buying cards for that when that movie came out. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, and Rocketeer both came out the same summer. I'm buying trading cards at Myrtle Beach of both The Rocketeer and Robin Hood, and just looking at these images before I see the movie, like, wonder what happens there. Oh, look, Christian Slater's got an arrow through his hand in the movie. Wonder what happens in that. And
So you experienced the cards before the movies then, huh?
I mean, sometimes, yeah, because and sometimes around the same time, you know, Batman Returns come out. I'm buying trading cards for that. And then when the Batman, the first one came out, they had a second batch of trading cards with the yellow border, so I'm buying those. So I was pretty familiar with the images by that point. But then would show images of concept art and behind the scenes pictures. I'm thinking that never happened in the movie. I didn't quite
Did you?
understand that it was a concept or behind the scenes. So
Yeah, as
that
a kid, you didn't know,
fascinating.
and it
Didn't
would
know,
be.
but it was. It's, I mean, I told Joe briefly this story. I'll share it again. I would tell Joe the whole story was. Street Fighter trading cards based on the Van Damme movie were a big deal because me and my brother were Van Damme fanatics, and at this time it was like the peak as a child of being a Van Damme fan. And those trading cards came out. My mom would drive us to Christiansburg, which is about a 15-20 minute drive from where we lived, just to take us to Walmart. That was the only Walmart around, so we could buy Street Fighter trading cards. And my brother gets his back, and he gets the Guile character card, which is the one we both want. Oh, and I was so mad at him for the longest time.
Did you ever get one yourself?
I remember getting a different Guile character card when I bought the movie adaptation comic book because it was sealed, but it came with a collectible card of Van Damme holding his gun. But to play this, because I've told stories of being somewhat kind of cruel to my brother,
Yeah,
we
you
were
are.
both in G.I. Joe trading cards as a kid. And we went down to the local comic book shop downtown, which is, you know, well, I think it's still kind of in existence almost. But anyway, we each bought, I think, a pack of G.I. Joe trading cards when they had just come out. And I remember my brother, you know, I asked him, I said, let me see what you got real quick before, and he handed him to me. And I saw that he had a Cobra Commander card. And I didn't tell him. So I took his Cobra Commander card and I swapped him for something else. So for years, he had no idea that he had a Cobra Commander trading card in his pack of G.I. Joe cards. I eventually told him years later that I
Wow.
swapped cards with him.
You really were a rotten brother, what you did to that poor kid. My God, you steal his card and you put another one.
And then
Jesus.
I remember when my dad bought us one pack of this specific Marvel Universe trading cards from, I forgot what year it was. He split it up and put one half in one hand and half in the other and held them like to his side, and he told us we had to pick one. I glanced through one of Dad's fingers and saw that there was a holy foil card of Carnage. I said, "I'll take that one." Just very calmly and like, "Hey, look what I got! I got this holy foil Carnage card here, Derek." And I mean, the cards to me were and they still are. I mean, I as an adult collector, I don't. I mean, I went back and bought sets of the Batman trading cards, He-Man. I've got a set of the Turtle trading cards from the first film. I bought cards from the second film, of course, as a kid. To find out that there were trading cards for Rambo Part Two. That's what made it so cool, is that there were trading cards for God in almost any movie, any
Anything,
show,
yeah.
anything.
Sure, anything you could think of. There's a local flea market we have, and sometimes they have a big it's like a big barrel, just a big barrel they have, and they'll have just random old trading cards from the 80s and the 90s, and they'll have fresh packs. And I've seen tons of the Batman ones in there, some Ninja Turtle ones. They just have tons of them, and they're still selling for a quarter just because it's so much of overstock. But I might, next time I go just to see what I could get.
Oh man, I mean, you ought to see, and you being a horror fanatic, you can appreciate this, were the Fright Flick cards.
I have them. I have well, they're not by me, but I do have those. I do
Okay,
have those.
I was hoping you were familiar with those, because I saw
Yes.
those and I think the early 90s, the comic book shop, another one at downtown had like,
With the old horror icons on there,
yeah,
Dracula
of
and
course, these
yeah.
cards were sold individually. That was so cool back then, is that the comic shops and collectors would have boxes of individual cards for you to file through, and I want this one, I want this one. That's how I found the Fright Flick cards. I mean,
I'm gonna have to find my old stuff of all that to show. I wanted to say first, in the chat room, Cave Dweller said the game I was talking about was Curse of the Mummy's Tomb. So thank you for saying that, Curse of the Mummy's Tomb. That does sound familiar. He said he's gonna show his WWF Wrestling Challenge board game on Facebook in his group that he has. So that's gonna be cool. Daniel Maynor, he asked if the Masters trading cards were different from the ones in the sticker book, or were they different types? Well, yeah, the cards for Masters of the Universe, they showed actual Filmation images that were like basically, just still animations with maybe a caption. But the
it was
sticker,
all from the episode like Father Like Daughter. That's what that card set was the scenes and shots from that one episode.
right. But the stickers themselves were kind of unique, different type of. I'm thinking about Panini. The Panini ones did that kind of unique kind of art for the Panini books, like when they
But
drew
those
Lizard Man.
were Filmation episodes as well, because they had Diamond Ray, Song of
Oh
Space.
yeah. But I meant the art, like to when you would put those
Yeah, well,
unique.
yeah, in between the actual, which those were used
Yeah.
images from Filmation, they would have someone draw what was supposed to be the Filmation stuff, but it was different art, but it was the scene from Filmation in that one.
Yeah, and the stickers were, they were more the art
The
that
card,
they,
with the
the
trading cards, it was card art that on the back
promotion,
side
exactly. It was
made a
like,
puzzle.
yeah, the stuff that we've seen before, like card art and sometimes other kind of promotional things about they show before that we've seen. I'll show images, so they're different. So they kind of switched up everything from their one type of card, their sticker, other sticker. But those are, yeah, that's all that stuff. And Motu Cave Dweller, he said he remembered having a tough decision whether to buy with his allowance stickers for his Masters album or baseball cards. So he says he, and JSP says he thinks he still has to this day a set of the Terminator 2 trading
I had
cards.
those too. I bought Terminator 2 trading cards as well when that's the summer that movie came out. I mean, I had cards for that, action figures. I even had a folder, a back to school folder of the endoskeleton, to take to put my papers in third grade. So yeah, I was it
Well,
was
for
Terminator 2 trading card. Hell yeah, man. I mean, and hopefully a lot of people who listen to this were superhero trading cards from Marvel Universe, Marvel Masterpieces. Marvel Flare, Skybox, Marvel trading cards. DC had some that were they were nowhere near as interesting as Marvel, man. Because back in the early 90s, man, trading cards of superheroes were money, man.
No, I know that. And I told you my
Boxes
story how I
of money.
got one of them packs. But These, as I've s said and shown before, these are some of the weird ball trading cards.
Okay. Yeah, you had mentioned that
Yeah.
before on the first
Yeah,
episode.
like I said, they're all kind of different gimmicky. Some of them are sports themes. Some of them are just I mean, they're all random. None of them are really pretty much the same, but they are just some of the weirdest stuff. They're basically, yes, you could say, oh, is this kind of, inspired by Garbage Pail or some of the other weird stuff or Mad Balls, anything. Just they're cool. You can find these on eBay again, pretty cheap, but they're called Weird Ball cards, and they've made like mini little figures, some small little figures, posable things. But when you're talking about stickers, now I've had this. This is my home. I have a homemade sticker book, and I have on the back. I made it in
Max,
1981.
yeah, you got Max Headroom on the back there.
Yeah, and that's why this I kept going and going, but this was made in 1981, and I just used regular sheets of notebook paper that I had in school to make this. And I started in 81, and I probably stopped in 87, where you see that with Max Headroom. But every once in a while, if I find maybe a sticker even modern that I find interesting, I might plop in this. But I mean, I like these weird. I mean, they always had these like puffy type cards, these weird little bizarre things here, and this
Yeah.
mescalitz, and I if I oh, you were talking about one time things that you would get like scratch and sniff, like they had
Yeah.
like this bubble gum and pie and things that were supposed to smell like
Yeah.
what? Yeah, this man,
Oh,
I
man.
have like inside there's Knight Rider, Michael Jackson,
Oh, you got
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters in there too.
Yeah, Ghostbusters, Knight Rider stuff. I love that puffy money. It's just this these puffy stickers were just, God, they were addictive. I even had some crazy rock and roll stuff, but I want to show you.
Get some hair bands in there too.
Yeah, there was hair bands, but then there was these weird, I don't know, like creepy monster cards. Like I'll show you the one side and then I'll get the Masters, but like there's these puffy monster type theme cards or I mean stickers. I'm sorry, stickers. Like just weird monsters or creatures or just I don't even know what the hell it was. But then, of course, you come to Masters, and I always like some of the. Of course, I can't see what's being shown because I'm blocking my face. But I always like the weird kind of trippy colors. Like there was a Ram Man that had blue, yellow, and red. Same thing for Wind
I like how your
Raider.
Triclops is the cross-cell art, and so is the Ram Man, I
Yes,
like.
and the Ram Man though was in bizarre colors. And then I had the Nestle Quick sticker in there. I like that crazy, bizarre looking. Let me see if I can you see Beast Man, or am I in a whole different
I can see
direction for you?
Beastman, yeah.
Yeah, I like that crazy yellow look, but
There's a
I
lot
want
of
to see.
cross-cell art stickers in there.
Yeah, there's this man. There was just so many, and then there was always those ones where they made fun of like it wasn't really tied. It wasn't this. It was like those crazy. I forgot what the hell they called these stickers. Wacky,
You got
wacky cow.
cigarette stickers in there, but they're like rip, like not like parodies
Yeah, everything's a.
of like consumer products of cereals, toothpaste, cigarettes.
Yeah, and I think they were wacky trading cards or whatever the hell they call them. But yeah, there's. Man, this. Like I said, I've had this since 1981. It's like, this is. I mean, who the hell
Let me
does this
ask,
one?
because you told me before, do you still have your Black Star stickers?
Let me look if that's in this one or if it's. Oh yeah, there's some of them. I'm sorry, I didn't show page two. Oh, and you're gonna like one of these stickers that's on this. Black Star is on this page along with some other stuff. But tell
Oh,
me if you
Jaws
can.
2. You got Jaws 2 stickers, man.
Yep, and can you see any of the Black Star ones, or am I in a different
Yeah,
direction?
I'm seeing some of the black. They're down towards the bottom there.
Okay, yeah, so there's yeah, it's a Black Star, another thing. So yeah, I got Black Star in there, the Jaws 2-1. There's oh man, this was just so fun. Oh, even Dragon Slayer. I forgot. Oh, and Star Wars puffy ones of like Wicket the Ewok, but you can see some Dragon Slayer ones, I think, on there too. Can you see any of those?
You need to move it to your left. There you keep going, keep going. Let's see. It's kind of hard for me to make out
Wait, let
some
me
of
go
it.
down. I think that
I
you
see Yoda
might be
on the
able.
other page. I see Yoda on the other page. I see,
Okay.
but
And the.
I can't even tell what the hell I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, there was a lot of different ones. Like I said, there was some that I had Dragon Slayer. Yeah, you're right. There was Yoda. There's. Oh, just too many. There's. But the puffy sticker fad, that was just. I don't know why those things enthralled me so much, but I was just fascinated with those damn puffy stickers. It's like you felt like you were in a way getting. I don't know, an action figure. I mean,
Plus,
I've said this.
me, because I'd get the puffy stickers from the doctor. I would get the real Ghostbusters or Thundercats, or sometimes a Batman sticker. But I would get, I remember getting Sly. I remember getting, Peter and Egon and Ray and Winston. And I was trying to remember. I always remember getting Sly from the doctor's office. I can't remember if they had, because I have since seen those particular stickers available, like on eBay and stuff like that. And Jackalman, and Monkey, and Chitara, and the rest of the, basic cast was included. And I can't remember if I saw. I always remember seeing Sly in that big, because the doctor would say, after he's talking to my mom, he said, "All right, Tyler, you can come right here and get your sticker." He pulled the drawer out, and this giant wooden drawer just piles of all these puffy stickers of just
Oh.
characters all over the place. And I remember just that was always a big treat. And then I remember getting some Marvel superhero puffy stickers that were looked like they were linked to Secret Wars. And I got them, and I put it on this cardboard standee. I still have, it's in my closet. I just don't have room to display it. Of when the first Turtles movie came to VHS, my granddaddy bought me this big cardboard standee that was being displayed in the video store, and he bought it from the owner
Oh,
and
wow.
gave it to me. And I still have it to this day. But for some reason, I thought it would look cool if I took my Spider-Man puffy stickers and lined them up along the side where Donatello was posed. So I've got
Oh.
Dr. Octopus, Spider-Man, Captain America, Dr. Doom, all on my Turtles. It's still in the closet in here. I can't pull it out. I got too much stuff in it. It's nice. It's safe and sound in the closet until I can find a proper
That's
display
true.
for it. But puffy stickers, I mean, Thundercats and Ghostbusters. I remember when my brother went to the doctor, and this was right after Batman come out, and he got me a sticker too. I guess mom told him, "Get your brother's sticker." Of course, my brother gets Batman. He gives me the Joker. And I'm more about Batman because I'm going to be Batman. I'm going to be Michael Keaton's Batman. I'm like, I don't want to be the Joker. I don't want Joker. And, so it's not like my brother, he's not going to give me the better sticker. He's going to give me the lesser of the two. So it's not like my brother didn't do his.
Is that why you stole from him all the stuff, is what he did to you, or did you steal before this?
Stealing the Cobra Commander trading card was a few years after that. And I was trying to think if there was another incident when it came to trading cards, because like I said, trading cards, we would try to trade cards between the two of us, and of course he would want to change his mind after we made the deal and go tell
There it
mom if I didn't want to give it back, so I'd have to give it
is.
back.
There it
So we were I don't think there was another occasion like that, but that would be the norm. If Derek was by himself with mom or dad, they would say, "Well, let's get something for Tyler too." Not that that was always the case, but I that occasion I do remember vividly that he got Batman and he gave me Joker, and I was just like, "I don't want Joker, man. I want
Oh,
Batman."
of course, but of course, he's gonna want it too. I was gonna say, Daniel Maynor in the chat room, what he said is something that we kind of mentioned the other day, and I was gonna say too. He said he remembers his teachers would award you with puffy sticker if you got a good grade on your test, and he said he rarely got one. But no, what's funny about that, Daniel, is me and Tyler were talking about. Yeah, I remember, like, if like hell, even they're pretty much faded to where you can't see, but like on the sticker book, on one part, there's like these stupid little white stars. You can't really see it on the sticker
Yeah,
book.
I see it.
Okay.
We had assorted colored stars too, and
Yeah, anytime the teacher gave a sticker, I took it off of my test and I put it right in the book. I love seeing that. I love seeing the stickers. It didn't even matter what kind it was. I was like, I gotta have it. And like, even like, I think these came in, I'm thinking Count Chocula. Don't quote me on it, but these glow in the dark. And they kind of, well, lost their sticking on the back, so I'll have to reattach them to my book, but they came off. But that was the other gimmick of stuff. Man, was I fascinated with glow in the dark things, from whether it's, scare glow or any kind of glow in the dark something or stickers. I love just sticking them in the light, turning off the lights, and then just, hold them in your hands. It was so cool to see stuff glowing so much, to where I told you I love static electricity, to where like if you had a certain kind of sheet material and it's pitch black in your room, and you'd like rub the sheet material on your head, and then you'd pull it slowly off your head or your arms, and you'd see the static electricity shooting like those balls at Spencer, those big globing balls you touch that have electricity. Yeah, like those. It actually looked like that. You see just electricity and static shooting. I was like, It was so easy to entertain yourself as a kid back, I guess, back in the 80s, 90s, because you could just sit there and play in the dark and do the stupidest
Well,
stuff.
it didn't take much too, because you didn't have, kids, we weren't given, a phone to play with when you're bored. Your mom and dad don't hand you a cell phone to keep you quiet. You had to come up with stuff. You had to, that's why playing with stickers as action figures, if you had no access to action figures, the moment you'd play with those, you'd play with your trading cards as if they were action figures. And, or simple things. I know you being the kind of the curator for the Museum of Masters of the Universe memorabilia. But you remember those little rubber figurines that were once solid color of He-Man figures? There was Manny Faces, there was Stratos, there was Faker, there was
Well, you know
Skeleton.
what's what? Those actually weren't erasers. Those were
No, I
gumball
didn't
machines.
say, no, I didn't say they were erasers. They were little figurines, little rubber
Oh, yeah.
figurines.
Yeah, well, they were, and they weren't even really kind of rubber. They were more plasticish. But yes, I do. I
Well,
remember them.
they
You
were
got,
really soft plastic. They were bendable
yeah,
like rubber. They
you
weren't
got them
really
out of the
rigid.
gumball. Yeah, you got them out of a gumball machine. I got
Now,
tons. I
see,
mean,
I
yeah.
got mine at the arcade at the mall, and I didn't know what they were. I just said, "Okay, give me a handful of those figurines. I'd cash in my tickets." And the guy gave it to me like, "Holy hell,
What?
these are He-Man figures!"
Wait,
I
you're
had no, I
kidding.
swear to God, I had no idea that's what they were.
They gave them away as like prizes at an
Yeah,
arcade? Are
at
you
this
serious?
Jolly Time arcade at the mall that's still, barely living. They had a little tray inside the case.
Oh.
I just knew they were figurines. I didn't know what they were. I just said, give me a handful of those for these tickets. And
You still got like a bunch?
what's that? I ended up getting Manny Faces, Stratos, I can't
Beastman,
remember.
Evil-Lyn, Zodak,
I know I did. I think I got Faker because I thought it was
Faker.
He-Man. I had to look closely and I saw that it was Faker. So I remember getting Manny Faces, Stratos. I think I got Skeletor and Faker and maybe one other one. But
Teela, maybe Evil-Lyn,
I
maybe.
never saw him again after that because, it's not like he got to go to the arcade every day.
I
That was
love
just.
hearing this. I've never heard that story because my experience of getting those was another topic we're going to bring up about gumball machine and prizes, but there was that, they called them Warriors of the Universe. They had two different kind of like display backers. One was art that was drawn that looked nothing like Masters of the Universe, but was called Warriors of the Universe. And then they had another one that showed this, like it was a guy on fire in the middle of this thing. And off the sides, it had pictures of the card back sell art, of the card back art, I mean, the cross sell figures. And it still said Warriors of the Universe, but when you look at them, they were Masters of the Universe figures, one solid color. I would go through tons of quarters, tons of every time I went to the store, my mom knew she would just give me some quarters. And then since you were obsessed on looking at other things, I was just looking for money in general. Like there was always those kids that tried to get away with taking a nickel or a dime and sticking it in the quarter slot to make it work. And then once they didn't work, they left it. I would like take my little pinky and shove it in that hole and then slowly lift up and bam, I take that dime out. And back then, remember, you had a dime machine, you had a nickel machine where you could get some gumballs here or a different type of little gumball there or a bouncy ball. I love taking that damn money out of there. I could find it every time you went to the store. You would always see it in the gumball machines. But if I seen what you experienced at the arcade of prizes of those like handfuls, I would have been playing all the time just to get those, to get a handful of them. What a lucky kid you were.
Well, yeah, and I don't recall ever seeing them again after that because every so often they would rotate the prizes, and that was just a rare occasion on a Saturday night, and they it wasn't like it was extremely like highly lit in there, so you couldn't quite tell a lot of times what was behind the glass case, and it was just pure luck that I found those, and I held on to some of them for a long time, and of course they have unfortunately since been lost to lost in time, so to speak. It's I held on to I think Stratos and Manny Faces for quite a while, just because I if they were He-Man, I was like, I got to make sure I take good care of these. And unfortunately, I ended up losing them. And then come to find out that like you said, that they were gumball things that you could get, but I never saw them in a gumball machine. So that was just pure luck that I got those. And
That's amazing. Look, I still have the backers. I was able to find those like years.
I need to see those backers.
Yeah, I'll show you it because I really like the one with the unique drawn art for it. But yeah, they had two different advertisements for it, so I kept them both after I found years later somebody selling those, and I was like, I know those are the gumball back because this is 25 cents, and I just remember, when you were a kid. But yeah, I still have those the majority of all my little gumball figures. Some I painted up and put on little mini card backs and sold to people, but yeah, they sometimes kind of go for a little bit of money on eBay. Some people maybe try to sell them for more than they're really valued at. I've also seen clear ones. I was like, well, I never seen the clear ones in my area. I don't know if this was a regional thing somewhere else throughout the world, or if just people did them in customs, but I've seen some cool clear reds, whites, I mean, whatever the hell the colors are. People have done that with some of them too. But yeah, the gumball machines were the, like you, I think you told me, you gotta tell me that story. Right when you said it, the image popped right into my head about the chicken and the egg game that you
Yes,
do work with.
the I think it's called the Lucky Egg Machine, and I told Joe that an indoor flea market that's closed down about 2 years ago still had a Lucky Egg Machine at the main entrance when you walked into it. I never did try it. It was just one of those things. I remember those things, but if you remember them, hopefully if you don't remember what they are, all you got to do is just Google search quarter machine, chicken egg or lucky egg
Yeah,
machine,
you can
and I'll
YouTube it.
put
Yeah.
YouTube it. Yeah, but and I'll post a picture of it too when I promote this episode too. But it was it'd be a chicken. I think the one I ended up finding was like a brown chicken. You put the quarter in, you had all these eggs like sitting in the machine, and you put the quarter in, and the chicken would sit on this pole and just spin around and make noise, cluck 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 cluck, or buck cluck buck, whatever. And a plastic egg would come out, and you wouldn't know what's in the egg. It could be a little figurine of some random character. It could be a little toy pistol, that doesn't do anything, or it could be a little. You didn't know what the hell it was. It could have been anything in there because it didn't tell you what the opportunities could be. Like on some quarter machines, it was more about what you like. Lucky egg. What are you going to get in your egg? You have no idea. What's the luck going to be? Luck of the draw. And it was just a great gimmick, that lucky egg machine.
You did, because yeah, I remember, and it was those plastic eggs was
Yeah.
the container. It wasn't the usual clear one.
Blue, green, red, orange.
And it was like, I think there was a couple different versions of that chicken egg machine, but I remember it would spin around and then it would go, and she would like cock up her butt like she just popped out an egg, and then you look down. Yes, man, the gimmicks and things that they had.
Cool machine. It really was. It was very, very cool.
Yeah, because I don't even know if I don't even know if they have many things like that anymore. When I go to the store and I see like gumball machines, I mean, now when you, okay, if you want a gumball, it's a quarter. I don't see 10 cents, 5 cents. But as for when it comes to wanting any type of prize thing, you're going to be paying 50 cents now, 75 cents, a dollar. I'm like, oh man, back then we never had to pay more than a quarter. A quarter got you either your super bouncy ball or balls or a big ball, got you your gumballs, handfuls of it,
It got
or
you the NFL football helmets. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you had to put the mask on. You had to snap the mask on the helmet, but you didn't know who you were going to get. I was one of the Redskins, but I ended up getting the Seahawks and get the Eagles or whoever. But I always wanted the Redskins helmet. And I just thought they looked cool. Like I said, I wasn't into football, but I just thought they were neat looking. You had to put the sticker on and everything, I
Yeah,
think.
I think you did too. Some came on. I think some really did come on, but
Okay,
normally.
maybe that's what it was. That the sticker was already on, but you had to snap the front mask
Yeah,
onto the
the
helmet,
strap.
and it didn't stay on very good sometimes. But you'd see them in the machine. I mean, I'm assuming every team in the NFL was represented at that time, so.
Oh yeah, I think my cousin had an entire set of all of them. So yes, I remember that quite well because he had this really cool display shelf where he had the helmets and all these little mini squared parts on this type of shelf. I don't know what it was designed for originally, but it worked damn perfect for his football helmets. It could have been a shot glass, shelf. I don't know, but it seemed like everything that you got back then, at least, was really worth the money. Anything you'd get was something that wasn't cheapy, meaning even in Cracker Jack's boxes, you would get a physical item. I remember getting super mini joke books. I mean, the size of smaller than a quarter, and you could open it up in like a book, and you'd get that in Cracker Jacks. You'd get magnifying glasses. Nowadays, I mean, I don't even eat Cracker Jacks anymore,
I
but
never cared for them. Even as a kid,
they're.
I'd give my dad the box. Just
Yeah.
give me toy, Dad.
Exactly. I wanted just the toy because the Cracker Jacks has a very generic taste. It doesn't even taste like caramel corn. It's like they tried to pour a little bit of flavored brown sugar. I don't know what it is. It's terrible, but.
I didn't even know it was popcorn as a kid. I didn't know what the hell cracker, like the name Cracker Jack. I'm like, that sounds gross, but it's got a prize. Can I have the prize, Dad? And that's all. That's I swear I had no idea it was popcorn as a kid.
Well, it's yeah,
I
it's
probably wouldn't have
terrible.
tried it anyway, just because I didn't think it looked very good
Well,
anyway.
I remember years back, maybe 10 years ago, I remember getting a box just to see, wonder what kind of stuff might be in it. They give you just a stupid sticker. I mean, literally a dumb sticker. Not like I, you know, you're talking about earlier. We're talking about sticker books. These ain't even worth looking at. They used to give cool tattoos. No more tattoos. And then so recently, just about 5 months ago, I was curious again. I'm like, gonna get this, these dumb stickers. It's just, it's nothing. It's generic. Garbage. I'm like, what happened to the toys? What happened to the cool toys that you get, especially like in your cereal too? Cereal had so many things. I mean, that's where you got some of those puffy stickers for Masters of the Universe, where you got some of those iron-ons.
Crispy treats had, or Rice Krispie cereal had the puffy stickers, yeah.
Yeah, and I think they had the little iron-on ones too. I think they did both. I think they did both, and it had, you know, the cool advertisement on the back of the box. But man, it's like you wanted to buy cereal just to get those damn cool toy stickers, anything,
Or
and.
yeah, the little figurines that came in like the Super Golden Crisp, where like the gold the bear, the sugar bear was having to fight off those little smog monsters, or they were like these kind of slimy white monsters that were after the cereal. They had little figurines of those that came in the cereal that were glow in the dark, I remember, I think.
That sounds almost familiar. Didn't wasn't there something for thought
Or
there
was
was
that Captain Crunch?
Captain Crunch game figures too. Wait a second, I think Captain Crunch did have
I knew
figures.
Captain Crunch had figures. I was trying to think which, if it was the Super Golden Crisp or Captain Crunch that had the smog monsters.
I
They were
don't.
always in the commercials. They were always trying to get the cereal.
Well, hell, I know one thing that they had. You remember Cookie Crisp? Because it's weird, I grabbed my sticker book.
Yeah, Cookie Crisp was the cop, right? The cop and the burglar.
Well, the little creature, look right there in the middle. That's a Cookie Crisp creature right next to the General Lee.
Okay.
That's
I don't
Devil's.
remember that.
Yeah, what else? I felt like there was I thought I got stickers in Count Chocula too, but no, Cookie Crisp did it. He could transform like hold on. Can you see where I'm pointing here with my finger or no?
Yeah, but I can't tell what it is. Oh, it's
Okay,
a
well.
look. Okay, it looks similar to that other the other one you just
Yeah,
showed.
there was him, and there was, damn, the stickers are flying out. There was also, I don't know if you remember Quisp cereal. It was this guy who had like a propeller on his head, but there was all these stickers he'd give away too. But Quisp was a good cereal, and that started becoming certain regional ones where they had it in different areas. But I don't even know if they have Quisp no more. It was like a little alien, this little
Yeah,
pink.
never heard of that one.
Yeah, that was a good cereal, and. I don't know if they sell it anymore, but I loved getting it when they had it. I was obsessed on Quisp cereal. So that's another lost art. It's just the cool stuff of all the stuff that they had in cereals that pff, I don't even know. I mean,
Speaking of toys, I didn't tell you I was going to bring this one. This was all spur of the moment. And I'm sure people who do listen to this, they all can relate to this. No, there's not a person on this planet who takes the time to listen. This is not to not no not. Damn it, not gonna know what I'm talking about. Or Happy Meal toys.
oh yes.
Let me tell you, man, it's as much stuff as we have argued, man, a great deal. I mean, everything I've talked and mentioned on here has been a great deal. Happy Meal toys, especially McDonald's. I always felt McDonald's always had slightly better Happy Meal toys, you know, aside from Burger King and some of the other places like Wendy's would do, like they had the tie-in with Willow and they had little cu collector cups and things like
Yeah,
that.
because even though Burger King was the one that had Masters of the
They
Universe
had
stuff, I literally.
Thundercats. I think they even did Silverhawks.
But I
They did
agree.
Turtles,
McDonald's.
but they didn't have figurines. You know,
Right,
McDonald's always
McDonald's.
had figurines, whereas Burger King would do, like with He-Man, they had the cups and they had, was it like back to school st or like school like and with Thundercats they had like a pencil top. A light switch cover.
Masters of the Universe had, I mean, beyond the cups and the cool boxes that had unique art and puzzles for each side, they eventually,
Or
I
is
can't remember.
am I getting confused with the Canadian promotion that had like
There was
stuff
a,
from 1987?
I was just going to say the Canadian promotion had a charm pendant, a pendant for the shoelace, and had a sword. and shield. It was a nice sword straw holder, and then you also got a shield that was like a, it was soft, but you could consider it like a frisbee. Yeah, but no, otherwise you're right. I agree with McDonald's. They have and still have good ass durable toys, and whatever they put out, they do some good. I mean, hell, they even when they gave us the 2000 X figures, those
Yes.
were well worth it. Those were really cool, poseable.
Those were very well done. It was awesome to get those. And I mean, my experience, I mean, some of my favorites were getting the Muppet Baby toys, from the little figurines to the little plush stuffed toys and the Muppet Babies that were sold at Christmas. The Bernstein Bears, to this day, is probably the best children's book and best line of children's book. Nothing better than the Bernstein Bears. I had all four members of the Bernstein Bear family. The boxes they came in for the Muppet Babies and Bernstein Bears, from the Batman Returns tie-in with all the various little vehicles that came with that. They had done the Garfield glasses, you know, because Garfield was so popular in the 80s, they sold Garfield glasses. I had two of those as a kid.
Yeah,
The
oh, the
Batman
glass.
cups and the Batman Returns collector cups.
I got those.
You know,
I
oh
still.
my God. They had the Dick Tracy scratch tickets,
That
you
was.
know.
Oh, was I addicted? Because when you talked about Dick Tracy earlier, I wanted to say that. Damn, was I addicted with those things. You kept wanting to get one certain character. I couldn't remember if it was Prune Face or what was his name.
I always want to say, I always want to remember, like, Prune Face being one of the faces you wanted to scratch off and find on your ticket was Prune Face.
Oh,
And
God,
maybe
did we?
the commercial. You could probably find the YouTube or the commercial for that, where it's like this guy, some kind of guy with like curly blonde hairs, scratching the ticket, and he ends up wearing Dick Tracy's outfit. Like, hey man, I just turned into Dick Tracy
I'm gonna,
scratching this ticket.
yeah, I'm gonna have to look because things were, they were so different back then, the ways things were offered to you. I mean, first, let me say again, some of my favorite things. I love the damn Super Mario toys from back then and
Yeah,
even now.
I had some of those too when that came. Oh boy, yeah, those were awesome
And I
too.
still have them because they're just so damn well made. But you know, it's funny you bring up McDonald's. Like, let's talk about not only that Dick Tracy one where it seemed like they'd always give you a lot of pieces to play with. I remember when they were doing Monopoly back in the day, the promotions with McDonald's.
And they've done that multiple times. I think they
Yeah,
still do on occasion.
they do. But here's the difference of why it was so cool when I was growing up when they first started it. I remember riding my bike through the neighborhood too, being super hot and I get thirsty. You could go into a McDonald's and say, you know, can I get an ice water? And of course they gave you an ice water, you know, for a kid. But when they had the McDonald's, I mean the Monopoly promotion, I'd say, can I get some Monopoly game pieces? See, they weren't on the cups like they are nowadays. Like you have to buy a large drink, a large fry, or a Big Mac to where you have to rip them off and see if you won. They were actually just loose pieces. They were loose, meaning loose to where you still had to rip and open it up, but it wasn't attached to a fry. It wasn't attached to a drink
Okay, didn't
or a Big
ask for that. I always thought, at least that's how it was introduced to me, is you had to buy the
Mac. Well,
fries and
see,
the drink.
that's why it's cool for me to relay this because this story was so awesome. So I'd go in there, and it wasn't just a drawn picture of a drink. You'd rip them open, they'd have a photo of a drink or a photo of a Big Mac. And picture, like I said, I had tons of money back then. So I remembered when I get that free, you know, got my water and I'd rip open a couple pieces. If it had a picture of a Big Mac, I lost my mind. I was like, I just got a Big Mac. And I'd go and I was like, I get free Big Mac. And they gave it to me. I was like, oh my, I felt like I was the richest kid in the world. It's like, I just got a Big Mac to eat. So I had a water, a free food. Damn, I mean, it was just so fun, the stuff they offered then compared to how it was now. They would actually just willingly give you some things for the hell of it. Hell, I remember you go to McDonald's and they were doing this record game where it had the theme, the song of like Big Mac, Filet-O-Fish, Quarter Pounder, French Fry, or something. I think if one of the records played, I can't remember what the tune was. If you found the record that played the whole tune, you won some super prize. And of course, nobody's ever did. You put that record that they gave you onto, you know, your record player, and it would play part of a song and just stop. But I miss those damn gimmicks and promotions that they do at McDonald's and things. It's like that stuff was so fun that they did back then. But yeah, at least now you know they used to give you free loose game pieces to open. They weren't attached to things.
Son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch.
Well, I mean, nothing. I mean, I can't say I was severely brokenhearted as opposed in comparison to the days of getting, you know, the figurines that were available for whatever promotion. From I remember when they did Bambi toys. I think when the film was either being re-released in theaters in the early 90s. I think I remember getting, you know, Thumper and Bambi and Flower and the owl, whatever the owl's name was. And they had Looney Tunes dressed up as superheroes. So you had Daffy Duck dressed up as Batman, Bugs Bunny as Superman. I forgot Taz as the Flash.
That's cool. Now those are that does sound cool.
Those were cool. And then I remember they did that. They were selling Indiana Jones, the trilogy, at McDonald's at one point. My granddaddy got me those for Christmas one year. They were
There's
selling
a
all three films at McDonald's you could buy right there on the spot.
Huh? That's
They
weird.
were selling Adam's Family at one point and a wide variety of other VHSs at McDonald's at one point.
Wow, I never knew that. One thing that just rang a bell, I'm going to say Daniel Maynard in the chat room. He says he thinks he remembers that record that I was talking about from McDonald's. He think it came in the Sunday paper. I think you're right. I think it might have been in the Sunday newspaper. That sounds vaguely familiar. It's just so hard to remember all of the gimmicks and how they were, but that does sound familiar. But no, back to your stuff. Yeah, I never knew that they sold actual VHS tapes at McDonald's. That's bizarre.
They did do that. It was I remember those two occasions where it was those VHS tapes of like Adam's Family, and I think maybe a few other Paramount films, and then they sold the Indiana Jones trilogy because I remember seeing commercials for that. And I remember Burger King selling individual episodes of the Turtles. It was like the Burger King Kids Club edition of The Great Boldini, and they had like three other
I
episodes.
have one
It
of
was,
those. You're right. I have one of those tapes. Okay. Now that does sound familiar. That
Yeah,
is cool.
that was really cool. I remember Wendy's did some pretty, they did some okay ones. Like they had storybooks. Hell, I remember McDonald's even had Muppet Baby storybooks too. It was like Kermit and I, and it was like Fozzie and Kermit on a little a jungle adventure. And then there was Miss Piggy and Kermit is a knight and a princess. And they were fun little stories you could buy at McDonald's, and I had some of those. I mean, it was God, man. I tell you, it was. McDonald's too. I mean, if you went to the store and didn't get anything, if you hadn't got to go to McDonald's and got your Happy Meal, you were a pretty damn content kid from either getting a collector's cup of whatever was available or the figurine. And sometimes they even ask, who's available this week? So mom would ask, because you didn't want to get two of the same thing, and they'd say, well, we got this one and this one. Like, oh, I'll take that one, man. And
Yeah, I'd still
it
do that
was
even recently looking.
simple pleasures of being a kid in the 80s and early 90s, man. I
Yeah.
mean, I know they still do that, but when I see what they offer, I think the last cool thing I saw McDonald's do was they were doing toys for the current Turtle line that's out. And when I saw them, I'm like, nah, I don't think I'll get
I'll
those. They
show you
don't
the
fit the
things recently I got, which were some Super Mario ones. I was like, those were some damn good. Again, made toys. They made some recent ones, and I did say, "What you got?" I made sure I got the entire set. But it's funny when you're talking about collector's cups and those glasses. I loved it. Whether it was a cool themed cup or the glass that would have like a 3D image like into the glass, if you know what I mean, like
Oh, the
blowing
Batman
out.
Forever glass cup, the glass mugs had that.
I
And
think
it
I have.
was, oh, well, that was such an exciting summer, too, when Batman Forever came out and getting those glass mugs. I remember because I went to the Nag's Head with my buddy at the time when that summer and that movie came out. And we had gotten Riddler at home here at our local McDonald's. We went there and I got Two-Face on the way to the beach. So it was just like almost like whatever McDonald's you didn't know who was selling what.
I'm gonna have to get my
So.
glasses out. I have those too. I'm gonna have to show those sometime. The one thing I did want to mention
Even
was
though the movie's not very good, those collector cups were
still
fantastic.
cool ass merchandise, indeed.
Glass mugs.
I wanted to mention a story from Christopher Glenn Dahlberg, and that's why I brought up my ripping open my chest with my big wheel, because he had an interesting story that he did. He said he watched the movie, or he watched Rad the movie. He said he tried to BMX stunts. He said he jumped off a ramp. Front tire landed first, spun my handlebars. He said the metal was exposed from the rubber grips, and he said he thought he sacked himself. He says, but his friend saw blood going down his leg, so it turns out he sliced open his bag. He sliced his nuts open. So poor guy. So
What was it
his,
sitting on a steel pipe?
well, he said that was from the metal was exposed from the rubber grips. And I think he's saying that's where he thinks he when he was trying that crazy stunt and something. And either way, yeah, poor guy ripped his nuts open. So I guess it makes my ripping my chest open story not seem as bad, because if that happened to me, I couldn't imagine. So Christopher, man, yeah, I'm hoping everything's good for you, because that must have been very traumatic as a kid ripping open the fun bags. That's a doozy.
It's like Chris is like Roy Munson in Kingpin, and he's like, "You have any children?" "Oh, none that I'm aware of." I was like, "No, what I mean to say is, I had a nasty cheese grating accident as a young man, So that's what Chris has to say, that he has a cheese grating. If he can't have kids or he's trying to avoid having kids or whatever, he's like had a nasty cheese grating accident as a young man on the bike. But say it with the Amish accent that Woody Harrelson uses in that, with
I
that
remember, yeah.
I don't know if it was an Irish or Scottish accent that he's using to pretend to be Amish, but nasty cheese grating accident as a young man.
He tried, yeah, that one's great. But oh Jesus, so man, those are the a lot of the memories we want to share. Are there more? Sure, it could be for another episode, but man, we tried to just cover as many things as we can remember because 80s, 90s was full of so many cool things, but those I think are some of the most memorable.
Trading cards alone, so.
That's, I mean, it's just we could have went on and on about any and all the different types and the albums that you could put them into and the sticker book albums that you had to try to fill up with all the subs. There's too many things, but that's quite a bit. And everybody, yeah, they were giving a lot of their memories and stuff. Let me see. Daniel Maynard, he said he remembers the VHS tapes at McDonald's. He said he was on a high school field trip to Baltimore and the bus was on a fancy, or he says, and the bus was on a fancy bus with TVs. He said he watched Back to the Future and Indiana Jones. Oh man, I couldn't even imagine having a bus ride like that. Would have been a blast. Christopher Dahlberg, he said, oh wait, well, they're starting to get ahead of me because as I was reading, the comments started beating me to it. Yeah, he said, Pizza 73 used to have a pizza and a movie deal. And you bought a pizza, two large pops, and you got a VHS movie on tape. So that's pretty cool. And I just want to see, oh, Christopher Dahlberg asked me, he says, Joe, do you remember Mac Tonight, McDonald's Moon? Oh, yeah, I remember Mac Night. I remember Come On, Make It
Yeah,
Mac Tonight.
I had some figurines of him too.
Yep, that little song, Come On, Make It Mac Tonight, or something. Yeah, I remember that Mac Night, the big moon
Yeah,
guy.
he was pretty. I remember we took a tour of McDonald's for some kid's birthday party. I ended up pissing my pants while we were taking a tour of the freezer.
What? Really? The freezer?
It was one of my buddies from daycare was having a birthday party. And they had it at McDonald's, so it was like one of the perks of having McDonald's. They gave us a tour of the back area of McDonald's, and
Are you, wait a second. You did this when you were like 5 years old. Is that what you're saying?
probably four.
Tyler, that is so bizarre because as you said it, I was just going to tell you my story. I remember we were in kindergarten. Our school was 3 blocks down from McDonald's. It was so cool. They're like, okay, we're going to take a little field trip. We walked all the way down to McDonald's. They let us walk into the back station where they make the food. And I remember we walked by and we all got to get a pickle that we got to put in our mouth for whatever reason. I remember the stupid pickle that we all got one slice of. Then we all sat down and then they brought us out a hamburger and a fry. But I remember that was seeing the tour of where they made the food and getting a pickle. So it's weird. Did all kids do this at school? Have a tour of McDonald's? Was that to
I
show
mean,
us our future?
it probably is as a youngster when McDonald's is the greatest restaurant on the planet.
Right.
It was exciting, but when I have to go to the bathroom so bad, and next thing I can't hold it, and I have to go tell Jeff's dad, I peed my pants, and sure, it wasn't too long after that my mom came to get me and pick me up, so it was all right, but it was just nerve wracking. We're taking a tour of the freezer where all the hamburger stuff's at, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna piss myself, and I did.
It did, and then it froze and it
I
was
don't know
all
why I didn't
crusty.
think, why I couldn't make it to the bathroom, or why I just didn't say I gotta go to the bathroom. I don't know why, but I ended up pissing myself
Did you have
in
an
the bathroom
older but
at McDonald's.
wow, that's a shame. Did you have an older
I've never
friend that
told that. I think I told that story to my mom, obviously, because she was there, and I think she remembers it. But I've never actually told that story out loud, just because I never had a reason to share it. Well, here's a
well, it's a
prime reason
cool
to share.
It's a cool story. I mean, it makes me think of Billy Madison. Remember the kid that peed his pants, and then Billy wet his pants and everything, and he was
And of
like,
course,
"Billy,
nobody did that to help me out, and
yeah,
but nobody made fun of me for it because we're all little. So,
yeah." So I guess yeah, because they probably pissed their pants and just maybe didn't pay
well, I
attention.
think it's a common thing at that age too. Like with most kids, you got to go, and unfortunately, we don't have the best bladder control as a youngster, and
I
just kind
know that's
of
great,
happens.
and it freezing your pee then. So, oh man, so that's been a great episode. And well, everybody in the chat room, thank you for joining us. I hope you had a blast. I loved hearing your stories too. Hope you enjoyed ours. And next week you can join us and we'll see what we do from there. But Tyler, any closing remarks you want to say to everybody out there before we wrap this episode up?
I want to, of course, thank everybody for showing up in the chat room, for devoting time to listen to us live, and for people who listen to us, afterwards. We always appreciate listeners. And with the Christmas season is in full swing, I like to think we'll probably be doing some probably Christmas related movies. Not necessarily beat you over the head with Christmas material kind of movies, but movies that are, I've told Joe and Nathan, I said, I'd love for us to talk Ghostbusters 2 and Batman Returns both take place at Christmas time. We plan on doing Die Hard between here and Christmas. We plan on doing Scrooged with Bill Murray and, maybe some of the Christmas cartoons that we've all come to love, as a child from the 80s and early 90s as well. But, we want to do Saved by the Bell. We want to do, a wide variety of other, classic cartoons and TV shows. I'm trying to get Joe to do Miami Vice. I think it's going to be tough because neither him or Nathan know a whole lot about Miami. I'm the only Miami Vice fan, I think, on this podcast that at least knows the show pretty intimately.
Yeah, I'll have to get a little research on that. But yeah, you're right. There's things.
But it's only fun if you're willing to do it. Just like, Joe's going to want me to watch some obscure movie from the 80s. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to get into that. But, it's exciting for Joe. Like, do I do it because Joe wants me to see it? And, you don't want it to be a chore. You want it to be something you're interested in having discussion with, And I almost feel like, it's probably going to be tough trying to get everybody to want to sit down and watch them. I don't even know if our listeners are even Miami Vice fans, other than they remember the show. So.
Oh, I'm sure there are. Hell, Christopher Dahlberg, he said he likes Miami Vice. He says, but more Knight Rider. Yeah, I was more of a Knight Rider fan. I really love Knight Rider. So those are other topics.
I didn't see a whole lot of Knight Rider at all as a kid. I think I saw the toy more than I did the actual show because I just didn't recall. I knew of it, but I didn't.
Love
I
some
don't.
that. Love that damn Knight Rider. It was the first car. I even seen that before I seen the General Lee in person. And I remember they said, do not touch the cars when you go to those shows that, like in a sports
Oh,
arena or
yeah.
something. And I remember somebody went up to the Knight Rider and pushed it, and it just went in. And as a kid, you don't understand, like, what the hell? Why did he push that car? And you don't realize how cars are made out of nothing, and it's this display car. I always thought it was durable and strong, and he just pushed it in. And of course, that person got thrown out of the place because it said, do not touch the vehicles, and he's pushing
Was
it in
this
the
a
side.
kid? Was this a kid doing this? Like, all right, kid, you've been warned. And they grab him and throw him out
No,
of the Looney
he
Tunes
seemed
characters.
old. Well, maybe not like a super young, and he didn't look like an old man, but he was probably maybe 20. He looked like he was probably in his 20s or something. I just remember somebody going up there just saying, basically screw what it said there and pushed it in. And I remember they grabbed him, threw him right out. So, because I said, do not touch the vehicles. It's there for displaying to look at. And I remember that it for some reason traumatized me because I thought, oh man, kid ain't strong because I love Knight Rider. And I looked at him, pushed. To me, that was Kit. I was like, oh, that is Kit. And, of course, you don't realize they have a lot of display cars that go around the entire United States with, but yeah, there'll be lots of things that we'll be able to talk about in
Let me ask
future.
you this real quick. How familiar are you with the Ghostbusters cartoon and toy line?
I probably am more familiar maybe with the toy line because I have some of those crazy gimmicked ones, like the mailman that you push and had a
Just that's.
monster mouth, good Granny Goodness or whatever her name was. Yeah, I'm more the toys. The cartoon I remembered, and but not a lot. I remember some of the episodes. I remember I was kind of confused when I first started watching that Slimer was like their buddy now, because in the cartoon they captured Slimer, and I know in part two, he's kind of the bus driver, he's a good guy, but it was kind of weird to me saying, hey, Slimer's just one of the guys. So yeah, I'd have to watch more of them. Why do you ask? Because I'd have to
Oh
watch.
no, because I know at some point, covering Ghostbusters seemed like a no-brainer. I mean, not only just the movies, but the toy line and the cartoon as well. So I was just curious. I know Nathan, is a big fan of Ghostbusters, the films, the cartoon, and he had a bunch of the toys. He had the firehouse, still does, the prick.
I'll have to watch.
But
I can watch the cartoon on. I think they have it
well,
available on Netflix.
I was just curious, because
I
it's,
liked it.
huh?
Yeah, I liked it. No, I liked the cartoon. It just,
It's on
I
Net.
don't have.
Let me just put it. The first season, I think, or no, actually, every season of Ghostbusters, the real Ghostbusters, is on Netflix. So,
Yeah, and that's what I'll say. I know we sometimes have that little second delay between our talk, but I was like, yeah, I can catch it on Netflix. So I was saying that too. I'll be able to brush back
for
up.
future topic, I just was curious how familiar you were with well, with any of them for that matter. Not just didn't have to be one more than the other because I mean we could help with just talking. I mean, I'm just curious because. Real Ghostbusters was another. Oddly enough, that's something I've never really talked to you a whole lot about too. Is how big the Ghostbusters were with me as a kid.
Yeah,
And I'm
well, that's another few.
E-Man, Turtles, G.I. Joe, Thundercats, Ghostbusters. Hell was a big part of my childhood too. And I swear to God, I don't know why I don't mention that more because
Well, another future topic. Again, another future topic. I mean, I enjoyed Ghostbusters a lot too. Not as much as you, but I still didn't. I mean, I enjoyed what I had. But well, did you want to tell people where to go on Facebook
Yes,
and YouTube?
and wrapping it up here. Sorry, we have retention wrapping things up here. Go to the Beyond Retro podcast Facebook page. Just look up Beyond Retro Podcast in your Facebook search engine, and that'll pop up. All our episodes are on YouTube. Just go to Beyond Retro and then type in, episode 1, 2. Well, we're just up to episode 9, so you're gonna have to dig through. Just type in one of those. It doesn't come up. Not all the episodes come up immediately when you type in Beyond Retro on YouTube. You get a bunch of other things that have nothing to do with the podcast. But all the episodes so far are downloadable on Podbean. If you just look up, type in Beyond Retro on Podbean, post the links for the audios when they're available, so that way you can download them. I guess they're on iTunes. I guess I haven't checked if Doug's been uploading all the episodes of that on iTunes as well. Just go to there. Joe and I, we post the links on our Facebook pages. Nathan does as well. So you can find us on Facebook and find the links for all the episodes and back episodes there too. So, it's all on Facebook pretty much.
There you go. All right. Well, at least, like you said, they have a couple different places to catch us. And of course, catching reruns on YouTube as well. But again, wanted to thank everybody that joined us in the chat room. It was a blast having you, all your comments, and hope to see you here next week. And we'll see what we're going to do then. But yeah. So until next week, see you guys then.
Later.